Into our final segment, always a pleasure to welcome live from Israel our correspondent Rolling Marks. With so much going on in that part of the world and in Israel, it's good to keep up on it and to get this perspective. Rolling Marks, welcome back to the Shilling Show. Great to have you with us.
Always one of my favorite places to be, speaking to you and your fantastic listeners.
We'd love to talk about the impact in the aftermath of Biden's visit to Israel, because we've heard mixed messaging on what happened there and really how it went. So what's your take on it, Rolene?
Well, look, I don't think any of us here were expecting anything major to come from this visit, because at the moment, as many of your listeners will know, Israel has a caretaker government. We are on the path for our fifth elections in 3.5 years. So we weren't expecting anything really, really substantial to come out of it. Having said that, as far as the optics are concerned, very, very good, very, very important discussions. There was some headway made as far as the Abraham Accords are concerned. There was the signing of the Jerusalem Declaration, in that the United States and Israel pledged more support for each other, that the United States would support Israel against Iran. There was a commitment to fight attempts to delegitimize Israel with campaigns like the BDS, the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions Movement, and to fight growing anti-Semitism. One thing we did hear from the administration that we haven't heard in a while was support for the Abraham Accords. Mm. There was acknowledgement for it. There was an acknowledgement to work to put the working documents from the Negev summit, which has been the meetings of the foreign ministers of the signatories to the Abraham Accords, and including Jordan and Egypt, into tangible, achievables for the region, as well as to increase the region. One thing Biden did allude to before he departed for Israel was that there could be something big in the pipeline with Saudi Arabia. However, Israel's approach is a lot more cautious. We know where the Saudis stand vis-a-vis the Palestinians. They have said on numerous occasions that any kind of normalization with Israel is contingent on peace with the Palestinians, and we don't see that being sorted out anytime soon. One of the areas that did cause consternation with the Palestinians was Biden's saying at a joint press conference with Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian Authority president, that the ground wasn't right for a two-state solution, something that Abbas has taken great umbrage at. And of course, there was the big issue with the Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Akleh, who apparently held both Palestinian and American citizenship. There was the dissatisfaction by the Palestinians that Israel has not been outright blamed for her death. But on the whole, it was positive, not with any great achievement as was expected, but really brilliant optics. We couldn't fault the president for his visits to Yad Vashem, yes, or and the meeting with two Holocaust survivors, or his supporting Team USA at the Maccabi Games. Really, really moving to see him there. But a positive, but no major great shakes visit by the president.
All right. Well, we'll take that as a good report, that there were things, good things happening and following up on things that have been established in the past. I did want to bring up a point here. You mentioned peace with the Palestinians as being a precondition. And it seems to me that the Palestinians won't leave Israel alone. In other words, that's a problem that's going to have to be solved by and large from the Palestinians deciding that Israel should not be wiped off the map, that they are allowed to exist and to thrive, and everyone will be better off in the region. But it's like there's a moral equivalency being put out there that just doesn't exist.
Well, this is exactly that. And we look at how the region is changing. One of the achievements we did see with the Saudis was them announcing they will open their airspace to all Israeli flights, which, if you're traveling from Israel to India or to Australia, it cuts down travel time quite significantly.
Yes.
But they seem to hedge their bets on ensuring that the Palestinians have peace with Israel. But as we've seen, and as you've just said, there's no moral equivalent. The Palestinians do not want peace with Israel. First of all, they would have to acknowledge our existence, something that which is in the charter of Hamas and the Palestinian Authority, they do not do. They would have to stop this incessant cycle of incitement. I mean, just yesterday, Mahmoud Abbas announced an increase in the monthly salary of the two terrorists that carried out a terror attack several years ago. He's making no attempt to stop that. In fact, he's actually giving them a pay increase. This has to stop. We can't forget Taylor Forth, an American citizen who was here in Israel, who was killed in a terror attack, and the Taylor Forth Act going to Congress, which puts an end to this pay for slay scheme that the aid that the United States gives to the Palestinians cannot go towards paying these salaries. And even the Arab world is getting tired of them. We've seen numerous op-eds in publications like Al Arabiya and various others, Arabs saying, it's enough. We've given them billions and billions, and in return we have been insulted and our money hasn't been used to build hospitals and schools and infrastructure. And of course, Abbas is in the fourth year, or is in the 13th year rather, of his 4-year term. So, as many of you can tell by my accent, I'm originally from South Africa. When we used to speak about ending apartheid and taking South Africa into democracy, we used to say there has to be a Mandela and an FW de Klerk, two traditional enemies who came together to work for a better society, for the improvement of their country. We need a Palestinian de Klerk or Mandela who's willing to say, enough is enough here. Israel's not going anywhere. And if we want to have a state of our own, if we want to thrive in this region like everybody else is, we're going to have to make some major changes.
Just a couple of minutes left with our Israel correspondent, Roland Marks, live from Israel. Something I've been watching with trepidation is the seeming alliance of Russia, Turkey, and Iran, and recent Russian hostility, at least it appears from my perspective, towards Israel, and I wonder if you've seen the same thing.
Funny you should mention that, because we have had an increase in what we see as hostility from the Russians. We had a very rare rebuke a couple of weeks ago from the Russians about our military missions in Syria. Now, we know that Iran and other terror entities use Syria either as a base to launch attacks on Israel or to smuggle weapons to their proxies, Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in the Gaza Strip. And what our army or our air force do is they conduct strikes in Syria to prevent that happening. And we have to do that along with the cooperation of the Russian military, which is stationed in Syria, which is why Israel has tread a very delicate line as far as Russia's invasion of Ukraine is concerned. We've sent tremendous amounts of humanitarian aid, but no defense aid for this particular reason. However, Russia rebuked Israel a couple of years ago, saying that we were invading sovereign territory and harming civilians, which is a bit rich coming from Russia. And of course, now we have a situation with the work of the Jewish Agency for Israel, which is in Russia. This is an organization over 100 years old that helps to facilitate the immigration of Jews from wherever they are to Israel safely. Yet that's the sole mandate that they are responsible for. And just 2 weeks ago, the Russian Ministry of Justice taking the decision to ensure that they dissolve their work with immediate effect with the ludicrous claim that they were gathering the data of Russian civilians. Just today, we had a delegation a government delegation in Moscow to meet with Justice Ministry officials, and those meetings amounted to nothing. And it's very much seen as an act of hostility and takes us back to a very dark time in our history, especially the history of Soviet Jewry. And of course, forming alliances with Iran and China has our antenna up, because Iran is supplying Russia with more drones to attack Ukraine. And of course, we know what Iran's intentions are with Israel.
We certainly do. Rolene Marks, we're just about out of time, but I'd love for you to tell our audience how they could be in touch with you online.
With the absolute greatest of pleasure, you can find a website with my two partners at layoftheland.online. I am on YouTube at The Israel Brief. I'm also on Roro's Rantings. And hit me up on Twitter at Rolmarks, R-O-L-E-M-A-R-K-S. And it's always my pleasure to speak to you.
Well, it's a great joy, and a thank you for these reports, and we continue to pray for the peace of Israel. Thank you, Rolene Marks.
Amen. Thank you.